And so it is. Story is complete, or so we think, because after all, it has been the custom here at St. Luke's that the wise men begin Christmas over there by the sacristy door, and they make their way across during the Christmas season, and they end up there at the creche today on this, the Feast of Epiphany. And so, we think Christmas is now over. This is the 12th, yesterday actually was the 12th day of Christmas. The 12th night precedes this wonderful feast. And in our celebrating of this feast, as they by happenstance be on a Sunday this year so that we can all celebrate it, here it is and we can rejoice. Most of us rejoicing perhaps because all the visiting and all the cooking and all the eating is finally over and we can kind of get back to things like normal. But you see, once Jesus comes, nothing is ever normal again. Because Jesus comes, the world we have been hearing from the prophets and from our scriptures in the New Testament, the world that we know it, is being turned on its head. In fact, Jesus comes to disrupt things. Jesus comes to take the powers that be in the world and shake them to their foundation. We even heard in this story today how King Herod was frightened. That's quite an accomplishment. We think about it, that this message would frighten King Herod. Because, you see, Herod was quite the king. He was the king in Jerusalem largely because he was, as some people might call him, a puppet king, with the strings being controlled by the emperor in Rome. But one of the reasons why Herod was such a king in the eyes of the emperor is that he was ruthless. That he would spare no expense to make sure that order was kept in this little land of Palestine, which for a very long time was a thorn in the side of the Roman Empire. It was always a place of foment and discord and revolution. And empires that tried to occupy it for centuries always ended up losing something in the process. So Herod kept his thumb very tightly on everything, especially any kind of dissent. If you talked against the king, you soon lost your head. Look at John the Baptizer. Well, in that sense, power, you see, is very hard to let go of. Power is something that once we get it, we want to hold on to it. Whether it's the power of a political king like Herod, or perhaps the power of our place in society, or the power of our pocketbook, it's something we want to hold on to at all costs. And so when something comes along that seems to threaten it, we want to destroy it as quickly as we can. And that's exactly what Herod proposed to do. We would have heard a different story about this period if we were in church on the 28th of December, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, when we would have heard the second chapter of this story, this Epiphany story, this Magi story. Because they didn't return to Herod, he got furious. And as the Coventry Carol tells us the story over and over again, he bid his men to go out and slay all of the children 2 years and under, all of the boys, so that this furtive king would never come to power. Oh, Herod knew how to hold on to power. He did. And so, not to be frustrated in his own plans, God sends Jesus and Mary and Joseph down into safety, into Jerusalem, or into Egypt rather, into exile. And there the child grows safely until Herod, the wicked king, is dead. when Herod died, he finally had to let go of all of this power. And Jesus returns. Once Jesus comes, things are never the same. They're never ordinary. And maybe that's what the wise men of the gospel today understood. See, they said they saw a star at its rising. These three scholars tell us are probably some sort of priestly class from Persia or some environs out there where the major religion was something we call Zoroastrianism. And the Zoroastrians are very big on light. They see cosmic fights between light and darkness, and so they're always looking at the light, and when some great light appears in the sky, then all of a sudden some great thing must be happening in the world. And more often than not, in an ancient way, they're thinking, oh, there's a great star. It must be a new king. And so they journey west. They go from the east to the west. They go to Judea. And of course, where do they go if they're looking for the king? But to the palace in Jerusalem. But they went to the wrong place. And maybe even at the wrong time. Maybe this wasn't a good time to be telling Herod there's a new king being born. Because Herod becomes frightened, and it says in the scripture, and all of Jerusalem with him. Because this portends civil war. And so they come and they offer their gifts. We more often than not focus on those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That they are spiritual gifts. They are actually symbolic. Symbolic of this child that is in front of them, this toddler, because he was about 2 or so at that point. He wasn't in the manger. You see, that scene back there, that's a lie. Because the story we're talking about today isn't there. It's probably in a house somewhere in Bethlehem. By then, Mary and Joseph found a place to live. And they raised this little child of theirs until he was about 1.5, 2 years old. The shepherds were long gone and the sheep scattered. They didn't live in the manger. They lived in a house just like you and me. And so the wise men were looking for this house and they finally found it. And as the scripture says, they were overwhelmed with joy. Overwhelmed with joy because their long journey had come to an end. And they found that for which they sought. Maybe, just maybe, this story isn't so much about Jesus or about the wise men or about the camels or any other kind of thing. This story is really about us. About us, because we often are looking also for the light. These three, as we say, there are three, we really don't even know that. We look at the creche statues, that's a symbol too, because if you've ever noticed that they have different faces, one is white, one is yellow, and one is dark. Because these were the races known to humanity when this was all created. So what we are saying is that these three, as we see them, these three are representing all of the nations of the world. So that in this moment, it is not only Jesus, the King, Jerusalem, the king of the Jews. Now this Jesus is becoming king of all nations, the king of kings and the lord of lords, this tiny child. Do you seek the king of kings? Or do you seek just a tiny child? Where is the light in your life? Maybe I should ask more especially, where is the darkness in your life? Because it's where you find the darkness that you must seek the light. That's what these wise ones understood. As they saw the light rise in the sky, they knew a great thing was happening. And they went to the light. We also need to go to the light. When we see darkness in our world, in our light, when thick clouds cover us, we need to run to the light. And that light is none other than Jesus himself. The star that rises is not a star in the sky, but it is the day star itself. It is Jesus the Christ. And Jesus enlightens the soul and the heart of each and every human being if we would just allow the light to shine. The trick is, however, that light isn't given just for us. No, once the light infuses us, we can't help but glow with the light of the Spirit, with the light of Christ. It is in that light, then, that others in the world are able to see Jesus. The others in the world are able to go to the light because we become the light. We become the light to which the world needs to run. And so it becomes a deep and a great challenge for us. Does the light of Christ shine in our hearts? Does the light of Christ shine from this place in such a way that not simply a lighted star on our bell tower, but very light of the hearts of these people shine through these windows and out into the world as we go to our daily lives, our normal daily lives, in our workplace, in school, the places where we play and recreate, wherever we are? Does the light of Christ shine out of us? Do we become the star that those who seek wisdom will follow here into the very presence of the body of Christ? Not simply the body in the bread, but the body in the community, in the assembly of God's faithful, that together we become great lights. So that prophecy upon those whom darkness has come, a great cloud overshadows, they have seen a great light, yes. And that great light is us. That's what this day is about. It's about our responsibility to be missionaries to the world. It's about us showing forth the light of Christ from our hearts and in our minds and in our lives in such manner that everyone is attracted to it. Anyone who lives in darkness will run to the light. And as we bear the light of that star in our own hearts, we can lead them here. Not necessarily to this physical place, but to hear the very presence of God. A God who is present to us in all places and at all times. A God who enlightens our hearts so that we can see God whenever and wherever we choose. This Feast of Lights is not only Three Kings, as we've sort of sanitized that story and made it sentimental. But rather, it is a deep and abiding challenge to us in the church to proclaim the good news of Jesus every moment of every day so that others too may see the light that shines in us and toward which we run when we are in darkness. That is the purpose of this day. To remind us that the coming of Jesus as a child among us is not merely a tender, sentimental story, but is a challenge to enflesh the very reality of the Spirit of God. As Jesus enfleshed the Godhead in the Son of God, so now we are the Spirit alive in the world. We become the very presence of God. That's what this day is about. God made manifest in the flesh. Yes, the Son of God in the body of Jesus Christ. But God made manifest in the flesh, in us, as the Spirit dwells in our hearts. This is a feast of the church. This is our feast. This is a day when we not only see the end of one chapter, but the opening of a new. When the great works of God are done, not in a long time ago, but in our day and in our place. How will you run to the light this day? What darkness will you open up in your heart that God can flood with God's light? What light will you see that you may drink it in and become a true light to others, that we may be, as Jesus, a light to the nations?